There was really nothing classy about my early career drinking. You know, I love to belly up to a dark bar. Like, people sometimes now are like, "Do you miss it?" I'm like, "You are looking at me now and you're thinking that I was like on a yacht drinking, like, you know, in the south of France, and I'm like drinking the finest
Fancy.
wines." Yeah. And I'm like drinking, you know, at a in a VIP behind the velvet ropes, hobnobbing with celebrities. No, 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 no. None of that was going on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Today we have a very special guest joining us, but before we get to them, we always have to introduce my good friend Cosmo from the Cosmo Show.
Yo, what's crack-a-lackin'?
Nothing much up here. How you doing back there?
I'm groovy. I'm ready to get into this episode. It's gonna be good.
Groovy. We have a very interesting topic for today, and I'm so excited to announce our guest. We have CJ Sparks with us today, who has 1.6 million followers on Instagram. Oh my gosh. Probably some of you out there recognize her. She has her own podcast called Inside OnlyFans with 241,000 followers. Huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
And her tagline is sober bikini model and
Yeah.
host. I love that.
It's been really cool. Podcasts are definitely a labor of love. So, which you're finding out, I'm sure. Yeah, but that's probably one of my proudest accomplishments that I've done, aside from the getting sober.
Oh, I'm so excited. You're our first guest that has their own podcast. So it's always fun to have people on that have never done it before. But you came in here and you're just ready to go. I'm so stoked. You're like, give me a drink, water, let's roll. So I love that. So refreshing. But I kind of wanted to change up how we normally do the show. Like, usually I have a guest come in and they have something that makes them delulu, which is kind of like something that's like running rent-free in their brain. But I really wanted to ask you if you've ever been on a podcast where someone lets you talk about being an AA.
You know, I'm fortunate. I feel really grateful. I'm pretty open about talking about being an AA and being in the being sober and being in that space. I feel as though, like, even sometimes on the podcast, I'll just bring it up casually. So I feel grateful that I typically will make an opportunity for myself like
Oh,
that.
I love that. I think you need to because it's such a heavily correlated thing out here in LA where it's everywhere. It's so hard to escape like bars and the atmosphere of drinking and drugs. And so normally I let my guests like pick a topic that they want to talk about, but I really wanted you to come on and talk about that a little bit. Like, I guilty pleasure over here because I love how ride or die you are with this.
Thank you.
And I mean, my Delulu will come later, but I feel like I just wanted to hear like how you got into this journey and where you're at, because I knew about you before I moved to LA. And the stories I heard about you were so different than who you are today.
Oh my God, there's so many good ones. There's so many good ones. Usually I was like drunk biting people. That was like a big one I would do. I would bite people, not even in a sexual fun way, just like in a weird we like everybody would be having a conversation and my head would just go down and I'd bite people and I would leave marks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it would
Vampire.
be yeah, but not in a fun way, you know, not in like a not and it would be kind of frustrating because people are like, I wasn't expecting you to do that. And now I have a big welt on
Oh
my leg, or I think I did it to some photographer or something where I like bit him on his leg and he was like, ah, and the whole rest of the trip he was just like, why would you? He was struggling to figure
Did
out
he like keep his
why
distance?
would you. Yeah, he was like scared.
Oh
And
no.
so yeah, there were times with your last guest Holly Wolf, we went to Vegas, or we would travel around, and Holly has known me for many years, and we went to Vegas and I think I passed out on a toilet. I
Oh
think she has a picture of me passed out and I'm like sleeping. I didn't even know my
no.
back could do this because I don't know like if my back can do this now, but I was on the toilet, like how one is on the toilet. And then I was laying all the way flat.
Oh my
So
gosh.
I was like in a real yoga pose and I had just passed
Wow.
out. And then yeah, she, you know, there were times when I would run off. We'd be like in a foreign country together and she'd turn around and then turn back and be like, oh my God, where's CJ? So I definitely was
You're just gone.
A wild card. Yeah. I would just go and make friends with people, or I'd like go run in the back and get more alcohol if it was like near closing. There was never the word no didn't exist in my vocabulary when I was drinking. So it got me into fortunately not a lot of trouble. I got a couple DUIs, but honestly, like the fun that I had was usually pretty good, clean fun. Good. Like I would just run off and make friends with people and have an adventure.
That's like half the reason I got started drinking was because like I think everybody has a little bit of like anxiety or nervousness and it's so common for anytime you're performing or hosting for people to be like, hey, do you just want like a quick shot?
Yeah.
Do you want like a quick drink? Like it's drink. I can't talk now. It's so normalized that when you are nervous or when you're celebrating, have a drink.
Yeah.
You're mourning, have a drink. Mm-hmm. And I even sort of fell into like not overconsumption, but I noticed a pattern with the pandemic that it was so easy to order a drink, have it delivered to your door and sit inside and
we had
enjoy
never
it.
Experienced that.
Yeah.
I remember when that was happening in the pandemic, and I remember even too, there were liquor stores in different places that everything else was shut down, but the liquor stores legally were exempt from needing to be shut down. They were classified as, what was that word they were calling everyone? Necessity or?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was like within.
Mandatory.
Yeah. It was something meaning that it was just something important, like the
essential.
Post office. Yeah, essential. Yep. Exactly. Thank you. And so, yeah, so it would make sense that like the post office wouldn't need to shut down because the mail still needs to get sent, even though, you know, that's like snail mail. Who is really sending an email? But like there, you know, that was – but that's kind of a random example. But like in that sense, or, you know, the banks, you know, certain people were still having to run the banks because people needed to deposit money and move money still. So like it would make sense that those things were essential and couldn't get shut down. But the liquor stores were classified by the government as essential and didn't need to get shut down because, you know, you can die. Alcohol, like the detoxing from alcohol is the only one that you can – your body will actually you can die.
Oh.
Yeah, like aside like, from any other drugs.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like
yeah.
the DTs, you can die from alcohol. If you don't have the alcohol that you normally are consuming, you can die.
Interesting.
I'm saying it very poorly. The way I'm describing it, it's not, I'm not doing very good of a job, but you can look that up.
Yeah,
you can Google it, and it is it's a proven fact. And so in that case, you know, the alcohol stores and stuff didn't have to shut down, but it kind of just shows you. And like you were saying too, you drink to celebrate, you drink when you're sad.
Yeah.
You drink when you get a job, you drink when you lose a job, you drink when somebody is born, you drink when somebody dies. Like,
yeah.
And it becomes, it's very ingrained in our society and all around the world that, like you were saying, a drink is a reward or I need to calm down. I need a drink or I need, you know, I'm at the end of my day and I deserve a drink or a glass of wine. And it's like, you know, where is that really coming from?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like for me personally, it was media because I grew up watching like a lot of TV. So I think to me, it's like I really resonate like as an adult. I see it a lot or like anytime I think about celebrating, it just it comes up. It's at a bar. I feel like LA, big cities, it's just what do you do after 10 o'clock after you're done working? You go to a bar, which is fine. And I have no issue with like I personally do still drink, but like I don't smoke. I don't, you know, anything like that. So to me, that's kind of my safe vice. But I do have to keep an eye on it. And I have to be like aware of it for me personally because I'm like I'm surrounded by people that are like recovering and don't want to drink. So I do try to be aware of like, okay, you're not drinking. We're going out to eat. I won't have a drink either.
That's cool.
And it's so easy to just be like, okay, it's this person's birthday. Okay, now this person's at an event and we're supporting them. Let's have a drink. Like, it's just, it's everywhere.
It's natural. It's really natural. And I would like to just say for the record, too, I don't necessarily believe that alcohol should be illegal or that people shouldn't be allowed to drink or that alcohol shouldn't be allowed to be consumed. I like what you said about that you just monitor it now and you're aware. And, yeah, I do, Like even drugs, I'm just like, do your drugs, y'all. Like, enjoy the drugs. I can't do the drugs. I can't do them anymore. You know, a lot of people now, and I miss this boat because I'm coming up on 5 years in April.
Wow.
A lot of people are doing the mushroom thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that if the mushrooms are around and like the chocolates and the gummies, like maybe I don't know if I would have found like, you know, my 12-step program. I don't know. I might still be out there like, you know, doing some mushrooms because it does look very chill and it looks like people can still get things done and they like take a bit of chocolate and they're like, mom, you know, I'm high, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And they're just like laughing at everything. And I'm like, that looks like a good time.
It does.
But here's the thing about me personally. If one piece of mushroom chocolate is good, then 10 must be great. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, that would be – I already know how, you know, everybody else takes one and I take 10 and then I'm, you know, in the corner crying.
Would that be, like – so, like, would you say that you have a hard time, like, stopping yourself once you start?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And then that was, like, how it kind of came to the realization that I felt like, oh, my God, you know, this is, like, I need help. I need like real professional help. And why I stayed away from joining a 12-step for so long is because I would take bouts of like a dry month. Like what do they call it? Sober October. Like
dry January.
Dry January.
Yeah.
There were times when I would just be like, I'm taking a month off, and I would take a month off, no problem. And then there was even, I think even a few times where I took even longer than a month off. And I was like, I'm not an alcoholic or I don't have a problem. I say no all the time. The problem was the times that I would say yes were the times that, and again, it wasn't every single time. It's just like 9 out of 10. And it became progressively worse as I got older. I would have a drink and then I, you know, would be like, well, I'm not buzzed yet. I can have one more. I can have two more. And then you catch that buzz. And me personally, I'm like, I want more. Mm-hmm. Like when you get that little buzz, that warm, tingly feeling. And, you know, if you're not in a 12-step program, we would refer to you as a normie. That's like, you know, the 12-step jargon, you know, you'd be a normie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're a normie, when you're a normal person, you're going, ooh, I'm buzzed. Mm-hmm. I'm good. You know, or, oh, maybe I'll have one more, or, oh, maybe I'll have a glass of water and then I'll, you know, I'll wait a little while and then I'll go home. Mm-hmm. Because it's like when you catch that buzz, it's like, okay, I've kind of came, I've saw, I've, you know, this is me conquering now. And now it's kind of time to wind down sort of a thing. And I always wanted more.
Yeah.
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 It is hard, like you say, like as soon as you clocked like the buzz and then wanting more, I'm like, yeah, I've definitely been there. Mm-hmm. I've had that moment where it's like, oh, one more is not going to kill me. Might as well just keep going. I'm already out. Mm-hmm.
And it's common too that wouldn't necessarily, you know, maybe there's somebody's watching that's going like, oh my God, does that mean I'm an alcoholic? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean, it really means nothing also too, because everybody has wild nights out, as I truly believe you should.
Yeah.
I truly believe everybody and their mother should have, and their father and their sister and their brother should have a wild night out. Like we should all experience that. Of course, you know, hopefully safety is a factor and everyone is of age and consenting.
Yes.
But everyone should have like a wild night out, you know, everyone, when you're normal, will say, oh, wow, you know, I had too much to drink last night. Yikes. You know, maybe I should like pump the brakes next time I go out. But then you kind of do. And it's like not that big of a
deal. That's how you learn.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's not if you have a couple nights where you drink too much, that does not make you an alcoholic. I just it was consistently happening like this for me for many, many, many years. I think I drank probably for like 15, 20 years. You know, my relationship with alcohol was my longest relationship I've ever had in my life, you know, besides my family members. And alcohol was really like a best friend. When I stopped drinking, it was like a death. It was very scary. I didn't know what my life was going to look like. I thought like I'll never have fun again. And it's just simply not the truth.
Yeah.
But it's something that it was once you kind of are in acceptance over it, then that's kind of where the healing begins. But I don't necessarily think that like alcohol should be outlawed or the drugs should be outlawed or anything.
I think it's just being, I mean, from my standpoint, which you can disagree or agree with, I feel like it's just being aware and knowing when it gets unhealthy or dangerous. Mm-hmm. I'm very lucky that I have had that like moment of my brain or inner monologue being like, hey, you've had a lot, let's not drive tonight. So luckily I haven't been the person, like y'all have seen that live stream where I got notoriously drunk.
I love that live stream, by the way. I was like, oh my God. All the tears,
the waterworks.
It was beautiful. But see, this is also the thing like about alcohol. This is beautiful and you needed that release, mm-hmm. you know, like, and you're using, you were at home, you were in safe.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I do think it's beautiful. Alcohol can be a beautiful catalyst. It's like anything, too much of anything in life is just not good.
Too much of a good thing is not a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like clocking and being aware of the repetition of the pattern. So I want to like hone in a little bit when you said like you first realized that this was like a little bit of a problem. Was like, did any of your friends talk to you about it? Or was this something you did on your own? You recognized on your own?
So I think I kind of always knew I had a problem. From the beginning, I was never good at drinking, but I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so bad. You know, I used to love drinking beer growing up. And, you know, there was really nothing classy about my early career drinking. You know, I love to belly up to a dark bar. Like people sometimes now are like, do you miss it? I'm like, you are looking at me now and you're thinking that I was like on a yacht drinking like, you know, in the south of France. And I'm like drinking fancy, the finest wines. Yeah. And I'm like drinking, you know, in a VIP behind the velvet ropes, hobnobbing with celebrities.
Yeah.
No. None of that was going on. And so, you know, just to paint a better picture there, I think that I kind of always knew I had a problem. Mm-hmm. I was always blacking out continuously ever since can remember. Yeah. And in fact, for the longest time, I thought everyone was drinking much like I was drinking and was drinking to black out. And then as I grew older, people were like, well, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you did that? And I'm like, what?
The do you remember?
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, you like, remember? So you weren't blacked out. Like, I was like offended. Like, you're drinking wrong. Like, we're all supposed to be.
Drink more.
Drink more. Black out with me so I'll have lack of consequences. Thank you very much. You know? And as I got older too, I'm 38, so you know, we didn't always have cell phones with cameras.
Right. Very different.
We didn't have Snapchat and Instagram stories. You know, we had Facebook, but and MySpace, if I really wanna date myself. I know, right? Remember MySpace?
I remember MySpace.
All MySpace was just like the top 8 friends. But you're not going, this is my drunk friend, look at my stories from last night. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was like all we were concerned about. Am I or am I not on your top 8? And then it was like yes or no, and then off we went, you know? And so as these things started to happen where people would have cameras, you know, I'd have pictures or I'd have videos. And I started having a lot more of this behavior like thrown in my face. Not in a bad way. All my friends were pretty tolerable of me. There was a couple instances where I was purposely not invited to things. And looking back, I can't blame these people. But other than that, you know, nobody was like punishing me. I think my friends were just kind of like, this is like our poor friend. Like, take it or leave it. This is just what her deal is. And I'm really grateful. I will say this. There's really nothing that they could have said.
Okay.
There's really nothing they could have said. And there was – so kind of how it was really brought to my attention, I was dating somebody who's big in the YouTube space. And he didn't drink, and I guess I should just – like I could even just say his name.
Name drop.
RSD Tyler. Hi, Owen. I saw him a couple of days ago. We're good friends now still to this day, and I'm very grateful for that friendship, by the way. And so him and I were dating, and he was just like – I cannot date you and like still run my company successfully when you are in this way. Like, I'd love to keep dating you, but I will not allow myself to continue dating you when you're behaving like this, because okay. this is kind of a reflection of me and my brand. And I was like, fuck, I really liked this guy. And he was like, you're in or you're out. And if you're in, you're not drinking. And I was like, okay, fine.
Wow.
Girl, I'd be getting obsessed with boys. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was so in love. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm a boyfriend gal. I love a boyfriend.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I love a boyfriend. I'm like, give me some guidelines. I'm like, okay, baby. You know, so.
Dominate me with rules,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, I don't. I
no
mean.
Drinking.
Yeah, I definitely don't mind. I love like a strong male presence. So.
Yeah. Okay, I love that.
Which has gotten me into trouble sometimes, because sometimes it's too many rules. But. I digress. And so this was a good rule.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine. And that was something I quit drinking cold turkey. Mm-hmm. It was like 10 or 11 months. And then we broke up. And like a month later, I was at a party in Malibu and I relapsed. And I not only drank as if I had never stopped drinking, because that's what we say in AA. You pick up right where you left off. It's not like I'm taking a year off and then I'll come back. And I'll drink like a gentleman is kind of like the saying that we have, or drink like a lady. It's not like that. You will pick up right where you left off. And I did experience that for myself. And so I was straight to the, I don't know if we can talk about drugs, but if not, you guys can edit this. But I was straight to the bag of blow, hanging out the car door. I think I lost my purse, like going down Malibu PCH, like, wow. You know, like what was a beautiful afternoon at a 4th of July party at a beautiful house in Malibu, I think turned out to be like a 3 or 4 day bender. And that in that moment, I was just like, damn, I really have a problem. Like I actually have a problem. And so that was when it really the inner voices started happening. And then a year later, or whatever, I started dating another guy who was actually in AA. Mm-hmm. And I still hadn't came to terms that I might need to do the AA thing.
Yeah.
And then I started going to meetings with him in support of this guy that I was dating. Yeah, in support, like, you know, dipping my toe in, and I would really enjoy going to the meetings.
Yeah.
And so then finally a few months later, I was hit with the same thing. He was just like, I'm in the program. Like, I can't be around your drinking. You know, I wouldn't drink for a few weeks and then I'd drink for a few weeks and then I'd cause issues within the relationship.
Right.
And he was just like, I'll never forget. He was sitting across from me on a couch, much like you are. And then I was sitting on the opposite end. And he was just like looking at me after a bender.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that. You know, I don't know if anybody here has ever like been looked at like by your mom or by your dad or just by somebody that you love, like an older brother, an older sister, younger, somebody that you know loves you.
Yeah.
But you can see them just like mentally detaching. Mentally, they're leaving. And it's not an anger. It's not – you can kind of just see them reach mentally the edge, the end of their rope, however you want to describe it. And it's such a fucked up space, because, you know, when somebody's mad at you, as humans, our response is to defend yourself. You know, you want to defend, like, well, you can be mad, but this is my stance, you know, hear me, and then maybe you won't be so mad. But when you ever get that look where somebody is just sad, the giving up.
Yeah.
And there's not really much to argue in that moment. And
for you, is it because you knew it was coming, or is it because you kind of, you know, that you stepped over the line while he's in AA and you're going out drinking? Like,
you know, I think I kind of knew it was coming, but I think I had, you know, whatever I had done that night, and he gave me the whole rundown and I was mortified. I think I like almost jumped out of the car on the freeway.
Oh.
And yeah, I know.
She's a stunt woman.
Yeah, yeah. I would – it was always things like that. You know, it was always things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I could see him at the edge of his rope ready to leave, you know. And so I kind of knew he was teetering on the edge. But I kind of, I think in a way I was like, well, I'm younger than him. I'm a cute young girl, wild. Like that's just me. I'm just being fun and like cute and wild and young. And I kind of thought, I think that that shtick was going to carry me a little further than it actually did.
Yeah.
But I was dealing with somebody who was sober and mm-hmm. who didn't want this. You know, if it was somebody that was probably like maybe more in the club scene or something, like maybe they would have allowed for that for me
sure,
for
yeah.
a longer period of time. But this is somebody that was sober and wanted to continue living his sober life.
Yeah.
So he's just like, this is not going to work.
He's like, girl.
Yeah. Ooh. So then I started identifying in AA and then I have continued on since.
Wow. Okay. First of all, shout out to the two men who actually sat you down and had a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Like,
they were pretty much just like, girl, stay or go.
But that's great, though, that they felt so comfortable with you to put that boundary there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know a lot of guys that would do that. Like,
I don't think they felt so comfortable. I think they really? Were just like, this is it.
Okay.
Like, huh. goodbye to you. Like, yeah. the ass is not worth, the juice is not worth the squeeze. The ass is not worth it, lady. Like, you know, like, you're drunk all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, as living in LA too, the beautiful thing about it is almost everybody here is, you know, kind of some form of a hustler building their yeah. brand mm-hmm. or, you know, even if you have kind of like that 9-to-5, typically people here have projects that they're working on the side.
Big dreamers.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just like, this is not fitting into what I have going on, what I'm working towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing all that. I know that this is like a lot to like open up and dive into. I know
my
you're
pleasure.
Probably used to it now, but I really appreciate you going there because like for someone like me who I haven't been down that road, but I really want to understand it because in LA, I feel like there are a lot of people who are in AA mm-hmm. or are really struggling to get sober. Mm-hmm. So I was curious if there is maybe any like general kind of generic advice that if you could give to yourself in the past mm-hmm. that maybe somebody who's listening or watching could either identify or clock with, just maybe like starting about getting into AA.
I feel as though that I always thought I was going to kind of stick out like a sore thumb and I was always going to be maybe like this young, cool person in the room that nobody would understand. I always thought it would be like a bunch of old man farmers.
Like they make it out to be on TV.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always had this idea in my mind and I really want to encourage anyone, especially if you're in AA, but like Vegas, Miami, New York.
The big party cities.
The big party cities. If you're in any of those cities, I want to encourage you that just like you see the familiar faces at the club or in the club scene or in the house party scene or the DJ scene or whatever you're into, you will see those same people at the AA meetings.
Oh my gosh.
And then you'll go, oh yeah, I didn't see so-and-so for like the last year of my partying. And they'll be like, yeah, I was here.
Wow.
It is so, we're like, especially in AA, I mean, in LA, the LA AA scene is really incredible. You know, I don't want to name drop people, but there are celebrities in AA. There are many celebrities. And if you Google it, you can see many men and women, young and old, mm-hmm. people that are in the United States, people that are in different countries that openly, willingly talk about their sobriety mm-hmm. and, you know, how they kind of came to have this like cross, this fork in the road, you know, where it's like, do I continue on and just like become a disgusting drug addict in the streets and just do that and mm-hmm. like kind of submit to my disease
yeah.
or do I finally get sober, go and attend these meetings and, you know, kind of accept the help that people have been trying to give to me for a long time, you mm-hmm. know, like, and you come to this, do I want to continue and try something new or do I want to just like continue on and wallow in my misery? Because yeah. I've never met a happy drug addict. I've never met, you
yeah.
know, like, especially as you do it more and more, you know, alcohol, like it doesn't quench you like it does. It doesn't quench your thirst. Mm-hmm. The first hit is never, you know, you're constantly chasing that, whether it's alcohol or any other drugs. Mm-hmm. And it only gets worse. It's never gets easier. But I want to also stress, so with that being said, if you're in a small town too, after the pandemic,
yeah.
we have a lot of different Zoom options too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine because you travel so much, you do a lot of
yes.
Zoom.
I do a lot of Zoom, but also I will say this is so funny. The only place I've been in the world so far, and I've been to 41 countries, the only place I've been to in the world that doesn't have AA is Colombia.
Oh.
And I probably was just in a very, like, a deep part of Colombia, because I would like to think.
Google that.
I'm like, why. Those people need.
Yeah, they need it the
they
most.
They need help.
Oh, no.
You know? It's a big party country.
Oh, and at least okay.
The places that I have been, from what I have seen. And I haven't seen the whole country, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But the spaces that I have been in, that, you know. We don't even need to say what those people are enjoying out there. A lot of snow, a lot of alcohol. It's a constant party over there. And while we love that for you, Colombia, you know, there are probably some people suffering that maybe need a little bit of help. So.
Get you some AA, Colombia.
Yeah, something, you know, just a special place to go just in case, you know, you need someone to talk to. But it's all around the world. And I have an app. It's called Meeting Guide. It's a free app to download.
Oh.
Zoom is free.
Yeah.
And I guarantee there are so many young, cool, successful people in AA. You probably know them and you don't even know they're in AA, because a lot of people don't talk about it, because it is supposed to be based on attraction and not promotion.
And it is anonymous.
Yes. But I really feel compelled to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people would disagree, and that's okay. I'm comfortable if you're at home and you're passing judgment on me. I feel like that's okay. I've made my peace with that because I think it's more important to talk about this, because I didn't know, even though the program itself is free, I didn't know where to go, like, to start.
Yeah, that is really important to talk about the beginning first steps, at least for me personally and for, like, anybody out there, because, like, I wouldn't know what to do. And I think that it's important to at least have some kind of idea of where to go and how to begin. And I want to backtrack a little bit on when you said that if the young men that you were with, even if they had said, like, hey, maybe you should consider doing AA or going to it, you said that, like, it maybe wouldn't have gotten through to you. Do you think that that's common, would you guess? That, like, even if a friend were to say, hey, I noticed you're drinking a lot, maybe you should consider, like, do you think it's better, in your opinion? So y'all could disagree with me. Do you, in your opinion, think it's better to let someone find their way to AA, or do you think it's better for somebody to encourage?
I mean,
I know that's a lot. That's a loaded question.
Well, I will say, I think the one reason that those two men, their opinions really resonated with me is because, you know, I was, like, in relationships with them. But also number two is because neither of those men drank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really tough when your friend comes to you and is like, oh, I think you need to pull back on drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But yet maybe you see them out the night before or a couple nights after and they've caught a buzz and they're with their glass of wine or whatever.
Right.
It's really tough because it's very easy for somebody to kind of catch a resentment against that person, because it's like, well, you're drinking alcohol.
Right.
You know, so I was very fortunate to have two people that didn't drink alcohol, didn't do drugs. And so when they were talking to me and saying these certain things that would normally be very offensive for somebody, because, again, we're on the defense.
Right, right.
It was able to really land because I had really good examples.
Yeah.
I couldn't kind of, like, turn the finger back around at them.
Right.
You know, so it's a very – it's a great area to be in too. And I don't go around telling people, diagnosing, like, oh, well, you're an alcoholic, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell. That's the last thing I want to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they come to me and ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. If you ask, then that's different. You know, maybe I'll say, okay, well, do you want my real opinion? Or do you maybe just want to, like, talk to me for a little bit and I can listen, you know, like, are you sure? You could send links, you could send helpful links to people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. I would encourage somebody, especially if they're not really in the program, if you want to send a link, you could, but I would encourage, it's a tough thing to talk about because it's such a sensitive topic.
For sure.
And then if you yourself aren't really so well versed on it,
it's
tough to know where to go. I think a link is best because then you're providing some sort of value.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
Like you're saying, if someone were to ask, like, hey, what do you think about this? I tend to drink a lot. What are your thoughts? And then you're suggesting that instead of being like, yep, you're an alcoholic, which obviously we wouldn't do, you're saying that, like, maybe guide them through the conversation and be like, well, what do you think? And then maybe following it up with a link. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Send them a link to AA. I think it's like AA.org, or you can Google it. Or,
yeah.
Again, AA is free too. It's free. Oh, free to join. It is kind of like a church where you can go and you can pay dues and different things like that, but it's free to go. And so something like AA is accessible to everyone, which sometimes there's places where people will go to get well, like a recovery center or a sober house, and those cost money. So I think there's also the thing too that people are like, well, if I get help, I don't, or if I actually admit that I need help, it's either going to cost me a lot of money or I don't even know where to start. It's really troubling, because I'll say this too. If you tell somebody, yeah, I actually think you're an alcoholic, then guess what? They don't come to you anymore with those problems.
Yep.
And then
pushes them away.
Yeah. And then they can hurt themselves or be in an uncomfortable or a scary position, and they don't call you.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're going, well, I know, you know, I'll use myself for example. Well, CJ thinks I'm an alcoholic, and I know that she's going to pass judgment on me, so I'm not going to reach out in a time of need. So that's why I say that, you know, just to clarify for the viewers, like, they're probably thinking, well, you know, why wouldn't you tell somebody? Like, yeah, you know, let them know, bop them on the head and like, let them know, tell them where to go. But it's tough, because it can be embarrassing.
Yeah. And I think it's such a delicate dance, because you, like you just said, that it pushes people away if you're honest with them. Like, I even had a friend a couple of years ago, like when I first moved to LA, she was asking a bunch of, not like a lot of my close friends, but like people that she interacted with, how we felt about her drinking. And we had to kind of be like, well, we did the thing where it's like, well, what do you think about your drinking? Like, do you, you're obviously asking, which kind of means you feel guilty or you feel some way about it. Walk me through what you're feeling. And one of my friends was so kind, because she was a little bit closer to this individual. I wasn't at the time. I barely knew her. She had even offered to go to AA with her.
That's really cool. I think that's a really wonderful thing to do. If you can go with your friend and not pass judgment and just show like, look, I'll go too. It's not really that big of a deal. Let's go check it out. That would be a really good idea.
I was going to ask your opinion on that. Yeah. How you felt about if somebody were to show up in support with their friend.
Yeah.
Is that welcomed?
Yeah, it's totally welcomed. Okay. There are some meetings that are closed and there are some meetings that are open. So you would just look for like an open meeting online. Again, there's a really cool guide called Meeting Guide. You can use it anywhere in the world. I highly recommend Meeting Guide. If there's some other apps, if y'all want to leave some, the links to apps or anything in the comments, I'd be super interested to hear about those. But yeah, I like, you know, somebody could, you could go with, or you could even do some outreach. Somebody inevitably knows at least one sober person or somebody that doesn't drink.
Oh yeah.
So you could always even do some outreach to that particular person and see if maybe you could get a hold of them and see what they'd recommend.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Go from there.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to wrap up a little bit and ask you a couple more things very briefly. So my DeLulu for this week, which I know I kind of forced a DeLulu on you, but thank you for handling it with such care. I really appreciate it, just because I knew you'd be the perfect person to talk about it here. My DeLulu is when I go out, and there are a lot of times where I decide to not drink.
Okay.
And it's kind of like you said, I just want like a dry January, or like lately I've been hitting the gym really hard and I'm really just trying to get myself set up because I'm aging, I'm getting old, so that's I'm trying to take care of my body and not drink as much. But I've noticed LA from, I mean, it could be anywhere, seems to be a big drink pusher city. And there's a lot of times where people that I don't even know will push drinks on me and be like, well, we'll buy you a drink. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And then they'll be like, no, like, we'll buy you a drink. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm not drinking. I have my water. I'm good. And they'll keep going. And I found the perfect out. And I'm curious if you like this or not, or if you're like, damn, that's a little cringy. But I mentioned that one of my friends was an AA and I'm supporting them in their like recovery or in their process. And a lot of times it gets people to back off.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's true. I do have people and friends in AA. So I'm like, I'm not lying, you know?
Good for you. I think that you should do whatever works. I think that's really beautiful too. And yeah, if that's what you're comfortable with, then that's exactly what you should do.
Because people won't, like, I had a close friend even, like, drink push me at a bar lately. And I was like, we're friends. You should know that when I'm saying no, that means I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not want to drink. I'm good with my water. Mm-hmm. So it's strange to me that it has to come to that at some point.
Right.
Because people won't take no for an answer.
You know what you could do? You could just order the most expensive shot on the menu.
Oh, my God.
And you go, and you go like this. You look at them and you're like, okay, let's do the shot. And then you fling it over your shoulder.
Oh!
Set it down on the bar and go, told you I wasn't drinking.
Dang!
Yeah, bet you they won't do that anymore.
Dang!
And it must be the most expensive shot. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
If you want to pressure me, then fuck it, let's fucking drink. Then give me the most expensive shot, throw it over my shoulder. You didn't say I'd put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Drink's drunk.
There you go Carpet soaked it up.
Yeah, bet they won't do that again.
For the homies.
Yeah, exactly.
For the homies, for the fallen for the brothers homies.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. I yeah. love that.
And see, but you must stare them directly in the eye too.
Yep.
Oh, while you're doing it, give them the old.
Because, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
It'd just be like, okay.
You're so fearless. I love it.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, you'll probably save somebody else from something like that, too. They'll remember that. It'll stick out in their brain. And they'll
be like, I'm never buying anybody a shot again.
No. They'll just be like, I'll never pester somebody for that ever again. Mm-hmm. I also want to say really quick, too, if you're in a mixed setting, I'll get ginger beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing,
and
too.
And people just
they
hear.
Think it's alcohol?
People don't even think. Yeah. They hear the beer, and it's not like an O'Doul's. You know, yeah. People are like, what's that? You know, what are you doing? Oh, my God. Can't believe it.
Actually, O'Doul's is delicious.
Yeah. But like everybody knows it's non-alcoholic.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So if they get ginger beer, and 9 times out of 10, all the bars will have it because it's a really nice mixer.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just order a ginger beer. And then also sometimes people are like, oh, calories. Just pour some water in it. Water it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosmo, I wanted to open up the floor to you really fast. I know we were kind of like deep in our conversation, but did you have any questions? Cosmo used to be a bartender.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got the experience at the bar.
I've been a bartender for 19 years before the pandemic.
Wow.
And yeah. I've seen some things. I've done a lot of things. Thank God I don't bartend anymore, because now the fentanyl thing is as scary as hell.
It's so scary. It's so scary.
It is.
People just die.
They do.
Crazy.
But I was to the point of 23 shots was my limit of Jameson. Yeah.
Oh my.
I used to love Jameson.
Yeah. Jameson's easy and smooth. It doesn't hurt like anything else, you know, like Jim Beam or Jack Daniels, even when it has a spice.
Jim Beam. Oh, tastes like wood chips.
I drank E&J for many years.
E&J.
So Jameson was like I'm an adult now.
Exactly. Jameson is like, okay, you're going to buy me a shot? Because my dad told me, if you're going to be a bartender, get used to something you love, because if you're really good at your job, people want to buy you shots.
Yeah.
Yep. Never trust a bartender who doesn't drink.
That's right.
It's like never trust like a skinny chef. But it was like old school times.
It's dangerous. No?
But usually when I worked at a bar that's a dry bar, I will bring a bottle of Jameson that has tea in it.
Oh.
And so I would tell my manager, I'm like, well, someone's going to buy me a shot. I will put the money in, but I'm going to take a shot so I don't disrespect them.
Yep.
Out of my own brew, which is just Lipton Brisket tea, and they don't know it.
Wow.
Bada bing, take the shot, take the money, good. But only during the pandemic, I realized, I'm like, I only drank when I was working. I hardly went out. Everybody came to see me because I'm working at the bar.
Yeah.
Now that I don't work at the bars anymore, I'm just like, okay, I don't go out as much. I don't really drink as much. And when I do go out, I'll have like a beer and a shot. Then that's it. But I was drinking a lot. I didn't notice how much I was drinking until the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then coming back to the workforce.
Everybody drank more during the pandemic. Yeah.
Everybody
did. And during the pandemic, I didn't even drink. I was like, I had like a rosé, maybe because my partner was drinking wines with us, and she got me into wines. I was like, okay, this is cool. This is great. This is not, I'm not getting a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm not getting a six pack or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just socially, like, you know, casually drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had people that I had to cut off, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally like, hey, I'm not going to sugarcoat it because I don't like sugarcoating things.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, you're fucked up.
Mm.
You're coming in here, you're good at the start, but when you get too heavily deep, you're kind of embarrassing and whatnot. And I'm tolerating you because you're not causing a problem with me, but I can see it around other people. So you might want to either A, I'm about to kick you out, or B, you work on it and I'll help you work on it. But other than that, this million, you know how you are.
Yep.
And nobody else is going to say anything. That's your friends and you should pick better friends. Mm,
yeah.
You have a unique perspective too, being a bartender.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And people skills. You deal with all different types of people, especially in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and you got foreigners. Mm-hmm. So yeah. you deal with the different people around the world. So mm-hmm. it's education. It's fun. It's awesome. But the drinking problem is, like, I told this girl, she walked in, she looked like a newborn giraffe.
She'd had so much to drink.
That's like the girls in Vegas, that they're yes. just like, they've given up. They have their heels
in their hands.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God.
But I refused. I refused to, they wanted an adios motherfucker or Long Island's like, see, I'm like,
woof.
Can't.
A Long Island and they're already a giraffe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, girl.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. And they get pissed off. And
of course they do. Yeah.
It's tough. But yeah, I think I like that when I go out to places now, which I'm doing out a lot, getting invited to go places, and they're like, let me buy you a shot. I'm like, all right, one shot. It's mm-hmm. fine. And then that's it for the rest of the night. But if they keep on pushing, I'll just tell them, like, no, I'm good. And if they keep on pushing, I have that attitude. I'm like, no, I said no. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it over again. So mm-hmm. please stop. Mm-hmm. But usually people, like, they know when I get serious, they're like, oh shit,
Colin, they know, serious. They're like, yeah. Exactly, yeah,
because I'm usually bubbling, like, hey, let's have fun. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm good. They're like, oh shit.
The deadpan face comes
out. Yeah,
get the shot, get the most expensive shot and throw it over your shoulder.
I might try that.
Yeah, we'll do that together.
Try it and report back. Yes. Because I've been waiting for a chance to do that. So far, it hasn't.
Delighted to. Yeah. Because it happens to me a lot where people.
Yeah, report back.
So I got you.
Yeah, have somebody film it.
Yeah.
Honestly, easily can be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being willing to come on this podcast and talk about something that I made you talk about.
I love it.
I appreciate it.
I'm grateful to be able to talk about it.
And be sure to check out her podcast as well.
That we had Dare on.
OnlyFans.
Still one of, I have to say, I think that's still one of our top episodes.
Really?
Dare came on. Yeah, Dare came on Inside OnlyFans and talked about being a Disney princess.
Yeah.
Wore her bear ears the whole time.
I sure did.
Wore like the cutest little zip up. So when she was all animated, the boobies were boobies. It was great. Yeah. Seriously, still one of my favorite episodes. Yeah.
I know. I want to come back, but you guys have so many people. I'm like, one day.
We'll have to have
one
you.
One day I'll come back.
We'll have to have you for a guest host.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be good. Everyone, let us know in the comments if you think Dare should come and potentially have a guesting spot.
Yeah. I'm so down. But thank you again for talking about this topic. Thank you, Cosmo, for chiming in and giving us your bartender tea.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
I'm here all day.
Yeah. All day. Be sure to subscribe down below. It is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just click the little button. If you're listening to us on Spotify or anywhere else that you listen to podcasts, let me know on Instagram. Send me a DM and be like, hey, I listened to you on Apple, on Spotify, wherever, because it's always great to know where people are listening to the show. And be sure to follow CJ on her Instagram as well. Do you have a website that has like all of your buttons on it, all your things?
www.cjsparks.com.
Yay.
I had to pay somebody thousands of dollars for that. So put it to use, guys.
Oh, man.
A fan.
Check her out. Make sure to do all the fun things. Subscribe on all her stuff. Mm-hmm. And we will see you Delulu canoers later. We don't have an outro yet, but we're working on it.
I like that.
Stay Delulu so your dreams come true, Lulu. All the things.
That's right. Yeah.
Stay Delulu. And subscribe.
Bye.